And if you were to look into your own life and look in the lives of people around about you, you say, yep, that's it. Murphy's Law, completely. I'm the prime example of c'est la vie. Feels so good to say that, doesn't it? C'est la vie, c'est la vie. And we just mean, well, that's life. That's just the way things are. But dear one, what I want to tell you is that the Bible says the way things are is not necessarily the way that things were intended. And so the second theme of the Scriptures, and this really overarches the entire Bible, is God's passionate and desperate longing to restore you and to restore me, to get us back to that original intent that we might once again be like Him and that we might once again be with Him. And everything of what Jesus came to accomplish is wrapped up in those two simple expressions, to make us like God again and to get us back to being with God again. And all of the disaster and all of the nightmare and all the difficulties of the world, whether it's in your personal life or in the whole of humanity, all of the brokenness and all the ruination in life round about can be explained by anything which the Bible refers to as sin, anything which makes you less like God, or anything that keeps you separate from Him. And you don't need a preacher to tell you what sin is. You can just think in your own life to those times and, well, when perhaps you did something or thought something and you thought to yourself afterwards, gee, I hope there isn't a God, because if He saw me doing this, I don't think He would be really, really happy. And you have felt in yourself, as I have, the eroding power of sin and those things that I think and those things that I do that begin to diminish, that begin to corrode my fundamental being. And we even can talk about people that we know, perhaps. I'm going to be going to a high school reunion, I won't tell you how many years, a high school reunion not long from now, and I'm really curious to see where some of my friends have ended up, because they were eroding even in high school. And I wonder now, some years later, to what extent will there really be a whole lot of them left over. But all of these corruptions and corrosions in our life can be explained very simply by things that we do or things that we think that make us not like the Lord and make us get away from the Lord. And Jesus wants to restore all of us to that. Now, one of the things I was curious to want to resolve and to answer for us this morning is the simple question, well, what do I do with my past things? Because you might be sitting there this morning thinking to yourself, well, I've done so much that has made me less like God, and I've done so much to separate me from God. What real hope do I have, and how do I get rid of past things? Now, you see, the world doesn't really have too much to tell you about this. It can't really help you in this regard. And as I was thinking about, well, what do people normally say when you've made a horrible mistake? And they generally have two bits of advice to give you, and neither of which is very helpful, but at least they're trying. The first is this, well, just forget it. Just forget it. You ever had somebody tell you, you know, you've had this horrible thing happen in your life, or you've done this horrible thing, and someone comes along and maybe slaps you on the back and say, I just forget it, just forget it. Great, thank you. Do you have any idea how I might go about doing that? Now, they don't have any suggestion for that part. It's just kind of, well, just forget it. You can, nothing you can do about it, so go ahead and forge on. But it doesn't always work that way. It's like the time when I was a young boy, and there used to be some caves up in the mountains behind our house. And two things my mom and dad told me I wasn't to do with regard to those caves. As you can imagine, the first was that I was never to go in them. And the second was because there were some kids on the block who liked to take firecrackers, light them, and throw them into the cave in the hopes that we could watch a cave in. And I was not supposed to do that. Don't go in and don't throw a firecracker in. Well, you can guess the story. Not only did I go in them, but when I came back out and got a firecracker, lit the firecracker and threw it in, you know, if mom tells you not to do something when you're young, you think to yourself, now you shouldn't, if there are any kids here, you shouldn't. You shouldn't listen to your mom. But I didn't. Threw the firecracker in and that's all I heard. Now, I had learned as a boy how to take care of dud firecrackers, which I'm not going to explain. It's like the secret of an A-bomb. I don't want it to get in the hands of the wrong people. Well, I was going to take care of this fizzled dud and reached in to grab this firecracker to fix it, and that is when it decided to go off. I just screamed and ran all the way back home. Now, for someone to tell me, just forget it, would not have helped me a whole awful lot, because my whole hand was completely burned very badly, third-degree burns. I won't tell you how I fooled my mom into thinking that I hadn't done that, but that's a whole exciting story in itself, and I'm looking around and seeing all these young people, and I'm feeling very conspicuous. No, listen to your mom. Listen to your mom, lest something bad like this happens to you. Well, some things you just can't forget, because they have a way of, they keep running into your future. They keep tracking you down. They keep ambushing you in your future. And so just to forget them doesn't help a whole awful lot. Now, the second bit of advice that you might be told is just start over. Well, go ahead, try again. And we have these lovely sayings, today is the first day of the rest of your life, which for some odd reason people put up in their bathroom. Have you noticed that? That's the main place where this statement is in the bathroom. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Well, great, I love that, but it's not also really helpful. There was a time when I was a drama student and I was in a play. And it just so happened that this particular play had two parts in the play that were very similar to one another. And as I was working my way through the play and approaching one of these cross points in the play, I inadvertently skipped about two whole acts of the play and leaped ahead to the end of the play. And I hadn't realized it. And of course, I mean, it was my fault. I acknowledge this. Okay, I'm confessing to all of you. I've wanted to do this for years, to tell people I'm really sorry that I messed up the whole play. Well, there I was, and I had gotten us to the end of the play, and the rest of the characters in the play were following along, and they were all realizing what was going on, and I began to see the panicked look in their eyes, and I thought to myself, oh no, my fears have come upon me. Now, what does one do in the middle of a play? Well, it's not the middle. If I was in the middle, that wouldn't have been half bad. What does one do toward the end of the play when one realizes that the whole guts of the play have been summarily wiped off the stage? And all the characters, I mean, you can't very well in the middle of the play say, hey, listen, sorry folks, we're going to try this again, we're going to get everyone back in your places. You can do that for a dress rehearsal, but you can't do that for the performance. Now, how we finagled out of that one is, again, a whole other story that perhaps some other time. My wife is, do you really want to hear? Oh, do you want to hear about the firecracker too? Oh, you do want to hear about that? Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to step away from the podium because this is the joke side of the stage over here. What I did in the firecracker, kids, listen, close your ears right now. Everyone under 12, don't listen. Don't listen. I went home and I went in my bedroom. I mean, I screamed for about the 10 minutes that I was running back from the cave, just scream. And when I got within voice distance of my house, and I ran into my room, and I waited in there for about a minute or so, and then I let out this blood-curdling scream. Ah! My mother came running in. What happened? And I told her, I said, Mom, I tried to change the light bulb. And to this day, my mother doesn't... I really should tell her, shouldn't I? I'll send her the tape. Anyways, back to the play. I thought, you know, it's terrifying. If any of you have ever been in acting, on the one hand, you're speaking all these words with great feeling, and it was really a romantic story. And I was speaking all these words, and the whole while I'm thinking to myself, oh no, I am dead. I am dead. What am I going to do? And so I just thought, well, the only thing we can do is to just try to go all the way back to that first intersection. And so I just kind of sort of broke everything off and interjected a phrase that took us way back to the intersection and got us on the right track. And mercifully, the other actors and actresses went right along with it. And then it got complicated when we got to the part we'd already done and we had to skip. I mean, we butchered that play, can I just say? But the show went on. The show went on. Now, the catch is, in life, you and I don't have a whole lot of dress rehearsals. I mean, the typical thing that mom and dad say as their kids are growing up is, look, I've never done this before. I don't know how to be a parent. I don't know how to do this and do that. We don't get a lot of dress rehearsals. And so very often, you and I make decisions and do things, and we come to crossroads in our life And instead of taking the path and the course that the Lord intended for us to take, we get off track and we go wandering about, and most of us have no way of getting back to that place and no concept of how to get back to where it is that God wanted for us to be. And so to just say start over and try it again, that's really great from here on out, but what do I do? What do I do about those things that I have thought and that I have said, those things that I have done that have brought me to this place of ruination in my life? We see Jesus is the plan of restoration. The Bible tells us that because God loved people so much, and this wasn't just sort of a religious statement that God was making, for God so loved the world. No, I mean, He so loved us. You have to remember the way He made us and why He made us was to be with Him and was to be like Him. And for God, it wasn't just a cavalier kind of attitude that He took that so many people today take. Oh, well, you know, if there's a God, that's great. Or they'll say to people who know the Lord, well, that's nice for you, but well, for me, I'm just kind of on my own. Imagine if God had taken that same attitude. Oh, well, you win some, you lose some. Just kind of wipe these people out and we'll start over again. But you see, God couldn't do that because He was so constrained. He was so moved by His great love for you. Into you, into me, God poured all of His love. And we are the absolute objects of His passionate devotion. And God was not content to spend eternity apart from you. And you, dear one, may be content to spend eternity apart from Him. But God can't bear that thought. That thought agonizes Him, that thought grieves Him more than any other. For it is with you that He wants to be, and He wants to get you back to Himself. And so the Bible says that God so loved us that He gave the life of His only Son, Jesus. And Jesus, in dying on the cross, paid the penalty and the consequence for all those things that you and I have done that are wrong. And the whole purpose and plan of God in Jesus Christ is to forgive and to restore so that you can once again become like He is, and that your life can be changed back into the way that it was meant to be, so that you can live life the way it was meant to be lived. And not only does God want to make you like Him again, but He wants to get you back to be with Him. And only Jesus has the authority and the power to take all of the past things of your life and of my life, as we will bring them to Him and lay them at the foot of the cross, then in bringing those things to Him, He has the authority and He has the power to remove those things away from us. And the Bible puts it this way, that the Lord will remove those things from you as far as the east is from the west. And He will take those things and cast them behind His back. He will take those past things of your life and bury them in the deepest reaches of the ocean. He will take all of those things that you and I have done that have separated us from Him and that have distorted who we were meant to be. And the Bible says He'll just forget them. And when God forgets something, it's forgotten. You and I have had the experience, I'm sure, where someone will come up and say, listen, I really want you to know that I forgive you for what you did. And you're thinking to yourself, well, thanks. And you don't even remember what you did. So often we can offend people. And just because we forgive ourselves, just because we decide, oh, well, I'll just kind of, you know, forget that and go on from here, doesn't necessarily correct or fix the wounding that was done in them. And the same way, the Bible says that it is really against God that we have sinned. And He is the one that we have violated. And He is the one whose love we have spurned away. And He is the one whose life we have said, no thanks, we don't want it. And we can't just decide on our own to kind of forgive ourselves and to forget. Oh, the Lord does want you to be forgiven. He does want you to experience that forgiveness. But I will tell you this, that when God forgives you, it is so easy to then forgive yourself. So what do we do with past things? What do we do with those things that have ruined us? And the answer is we bring them to Jesus. And the reason that He hung on the cross was so that every past wrong thing, every ruination of the heart, every brokenness of the soul, every distortion of being could be laid there at His feet. And the promise of the Bible, the theme of the Bible, is anything that you bring and lay at the foot of the cross is covered, is forgotten, and is done away with. And from that place at the foot of the cross, as you get up, as you begin to live your life, then Jesus brings that restoration of your being, and Jesus brings restoration of relationship with God the Father. And that is the theme of the Bible, that God loves people, loves you so desperately, so wonderfully. He's not here to reproach you and to shame you and to wag his finger at you. He is here, even this morning, he is here to draw you close to himself. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And the love of God is so profound that it is big enough and strong enough to cover over anything that you have done that in any way ruins your relationship with God or ruins your very self. In just a moment, we're going to have another song for you to listen to. And it's a beautiful song because it simply talks about coming to the foot of the cross. And it's saying in so many words that love doesn't care what it is that you bring. What love cares about are the things that you try to carry on your own. And Jesus says, come and bring your things and leave them right here. So what do we do in this process? What do we do? And I want to give you some very simple steps. And then we're going to listen to a song, and then I'll talk for just a brief moment more, and then we'll be done. So musicians, you can come now and get situated if you will. What do we do with past things? Very simple. The first thing to do is to thank the Lord that His intent, His design, and His purpose for your life and for my life is to make us like the Lord and to bring us back in relationship. I mean, God is God. He could be any way that He wants to be. But the way that God is He wants you to be recovered. And so the first step would be, Lord, thank You that that is Your desire. And the second step would be, if you will, to ask the Lord to forgive you for the things that you have done that have been wrong. And a part of that perhaps would be for you to forgive people who have done wrong to you. And then the very third and simple step is simply to receive Jesus. And perhaps you've heard that expression before, to receive Jesus. All it means is to receive the forgiveness that God wants to extend to you in the person of Jesus Christ. And probably every person in this room at one time or another has cried out, perhaps in a moment of desperation or wrongdoing, and has found themselves just saying, oh, forgive me, God. Oh, forgive me. We just say that kind of to the air. And the Lord hears that cry, and He extends His forgiveness in the person of Jesus. And if you will receive Jesus Christ into your heart, then you will know the forgiveness of God. Now, in your bulletin, there's a very small piece of paper with the words of this song, Just Come In. And I'd like to invite you to follow along those words as Karen sings for us. And then, again, I'll just take a brief moment to talk to you when she's done.
You will find my heart is still talking.
One of the most wonderful things about the Lord is that He keeps talking to us. And what we're inviting you to experience and to open your life up to is a relationship with the Lord, not just a one-time experience where you come and do your penance and Jesus keeps talking. I know that some of you who already have relationship with the Lord could sense Him talking to you during that song and thinking about things that are in your heart and in your life that just need to be left at the foot of the cross. You'll notice at the bottom of that little insert is a tear-off portion. And a little later, as we're being dismissed, we're going to invite people who have written things on that sheet. And of course, they're anonymous. We'll have no way of knowing. And it's not really our point to even read them. But there are two baskets there at the foot of the cross on your way out. And I think it'll be a wonderful symbolic act for you to take those things that are tormenting your life, those things that are breaking your relationship with the Lord. Put them on that slip of paper and put them in the basket on your way out. And some of you may want to begin doing that even now. I think for all of us who want forgiveness and want to be restored in relationship with the Lord, we can think of not just the little things in our life, but perhaps there are some of you who are here today and you have no relationship with the Lord and you didn't know really that this was the theme of the Bible, that this was the point for God to get you back to Himself. Perhaps your impression was that what God wanted to do in your life was to point out all the things that were wrong and then reproach you and shame you for those things. And that's why most people don't want to bring the things of their heart or of their life to the Lord, because they fear the statement that's going to be made. But you've heard the statement of God's heart. Love doesn't care. You bring those things and you lay them at the foot of the cross so that you can be done with them. And I think that there are many of you this morning that would like to give not only some things of your life, but your very life itself. I'm going to ask if we could all take a moment just to pray as we come now near the end of the service. Father, we do want to bring those things to You which are ruining our relationship with You, or perhaps disallowing our relationship with You. The particular habits of our heart or of our soul, of our life that keep us away from You. But I thank You, Father, that through what Jesus has done, there is opportunity for everyone to bring the particulars of their life that they might be forgiven. And there are many of us here this morning who will be doing just that, bringing the particulars of our life, those of us who already know You. But Father, I thank You that Your longing, loving heart is reaching out even now for people who have no relationship with You. And You're inviting them to come and leave themselves at the foot of the cross, and to experience and to feel that forgiveness. And Jesus, we thank You for Your life, and that You give to each of us a choice to follow You, to be with You, and to become like You. And that is our longing and our desire. In Jesus' name, amen. You're going to hear a portion of this song one more time, and at this point it would be a good thing for you to write on that thing if you have a pen. And if you don't have a pen and can't write anything physically, perhaps in your heart you want to be writing something right there and still go through the process of depositing that in one of the baskets there in the back. And so we'll hear a portion of the song again. I'll have one last brief thing to say to you, and then our service will be concluded.